At first glance, our text today may seem patently irrelevant. It has the words from God to Moses to Aaron concerning something they are to do, about some manna which no longer exists, to be placed in a box whose location nobody knows, to remember an event in which we did not participate. That first glance is, of course, misleading. St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." Even the Gentiles in that congregation were to learn from whatever was written in the Old Testament. They were to receive encouragement and hope from the Old Testament. We therefore consider Moses' words recorded in the book of Exodus with the theme, God encourages us in our Christian life. God had brought his people out of bondage in Israel and in Egypt, and now he was feeding them in the wilderness. Both of these actions were significantly one-sided, actions of God without corresponding actions by humans. The children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt, enslaved by the Pharaoh. They could not leave on their own. Not even a decision on their side could have accomplished this task. A decision to escape slavery would have been remarkably ineffective, leaving them in slavery. Only God was able to bring them out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. Now the children of Israel were out of Egypt, away from the clutches of the Pharaoh. But on their own, they would have again failed miserably. They were in a wilderness, and it was only because God fed them that they survived at all. It was only by God's hand and the bread with which he fed them that they lived to see the promised land. Now Moses tells Aaron to keep an omer, about 2 quarts of manna, so that the Israelites could see the food with which God had fed them in the wilderness. This jar Aaron placed in the Ark of the Covenant, together with the tablet of the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod. The children of Israel were just like you and me, being made of flesh and bone, corrupted by original sin, so that no one wants to admit that he or she needs help to get through life. Our sinful nature wants to take full credit for everything accomplished, even when it can't really accomplish anything anyway. Therefore, the Israelites needed the reminder of their utter inability to care for themselves, not only in escaping bondage in Egypt, but in escaping starvation in the wilderness. Moses records, "The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land." The wilderness was not a spot where they could dwell, inhabit, take up residence. They could not provide for themselves in the wilderness. Only in the promised land could they do that. In the wilderness, they needed the constant care of God himself if they had any hope of making it to the promised land. Now, I do not want merely to allegorize this section of Exodus. The escape from Egypt, the wandering in the wilderness, the preservation of the jar of manna, and the entry into the promised land really happened. And it happened to our ancestors, for we are also children of Abraham through faith in the same God he had, the God who has revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. And yet, these events are not only something that happened once a long time ago. They are events that continue to play throughout our Christian lives. It is with a great deal of accuracy that the early church compared our rescue from bondage to the devil with the Exodus. We see this already in the New Testament, and we have a number of hymns that take the comparison further, as well as theologians who make the comparison. Nor is it without significance that heaven is compared with and even called the promised land. Again, Some biblical texts and hymns have made the comparison, noting that heaven is our home, not here on earth. Here we have no abiding dwelling place. Here we are only sojourners, marking time, as it were, until we reach our real home in heaven. At the same time as we mourn with those whose loved ones have died, we rejoice with them that a saint has reached his real home, as we do today for Arthur Just Sr., the father of Dr. Just. For us in the middle, however, between Exodus and Promised Land, this might seem rather dreary without some encouragement. Here we are in the middle of the wilderness, having been rescued from sin, death, and the devil, but not yet having reached our real home in heaven. Here we wander until we reach the Promised Land. But God's reminder that he took care of the children of Israel in the wilderness is also an encouragement for us, for you, and for me. God did not desert the Israelites, leaving them on their own, but carefully and significantly, specifically cared for them, feeding them with manna until they reached the Promised Land. Neither will he desert us in our Christian lives, but will continue to feed us and nourish us until we reach heaven. Of course, even here we have a comparison, one that the New Testament begins, a comparison that is probed especially in several communion hymns, the comparison between the manna that came down from heaven and the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We can certainly say that the ultimate means that God uses to feed us as we sojourn here in the wilderness is the body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, given and shed for us on the cross on Calvary and given to us in Holy Communion. So, don't let your sinful nature think that it can get through the wilderness on its own. It can't. But don't despair. God took care of the Israelites. He will also certainly take care of us, giving us encouragement and support to continue our Christian life under his watchful and fatherly eye. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.